Okay, so let's get started. We are at the very beginning of the course. So what we did last week was to introduce you a little bit to databases, database applications, a little bit about DBMS is. And we started to work a little bit on PHP, to understand what PHP is. This week, we're going to be continuing. So this week is all about developing database systems or database applications within the database system. And I hope that the source code that's out there is okay. I'm getting feedback now and then and fixing issues when notified. So I'm going to come back a little bit to that. Are you getting used to Blackboard by now? So this is where I will try to keep a running schedule. So for this week, so lecture notes, I put them out here before I come here in the morning, typically. Now there isn't a full match between these topics and the lectures. So what we are doing now is going to continue a little bit here from what I started on Friday. So a little bit shifted. I hope you're okay with that because the slides are more or less thematically organized. So, and then if you go to last week, this is where we keep the recordings. If you're interested in going back to the lecture, then the recordings are there. And I'm trying to, I will be trying to list all the reading material for the week, what's relevant for what we do in the lectures. Might be more material you should or you may need for the exercises or the assignments. But that is fully described in the assignment itself. And if you go to learning materials, besides the required readings and recommended readings, we have the resources at the very end. And here I'm adding up some code samples that I'm going to be using in the lecture. So I don't know if we're going to be starting today, but at least on tomorrow, we're going to be going through some PDO examples. And these examples are all here. So if you would like to follow through the code, see what's happening on the code, then you could download the zip file here and go through, and as we explained here in the lecture. So that will give you a little bit of a better hands-on. And I also, sorry about the scratching. I hadn't been very clear on the deadlines for the assignments. So they, even though the future assignments are not specified yet, at least we have put up the dates. And as I said, every 2 weeks, Sunday, 2 weeks apart. That's where the deadlines are. So at least all the dates are there. And I hope, I think I cross-checked my calendars, I hope they are the correct ones. I make mistakes, so tell me if there is something that's wrong. Before midnight, which means 23:59, and the next one, you have 2 working weeks, this week and next week, which means that what you do on the assignment is going to be a little bit shifted than what you do in the lectures, because Monday, Dipti is going to start talking about SQL, but you're still doing the programming or the development assignment. And then the SQL assignment will be into her second week of it. So it's a little bit shifted, which means that you should be able to, or you should know everything that you need to know for the assignment before the end of the assignment period. Were anyone going to the lab yesterday? And Sabina and Mahesh were there? So they will be maybe just one of them, but they should be there mostly. And keep in dialogue with them, and also give me feedback if there's anything that doesn't work or anything that could be improved in the lab, even if I'm not there all the time or not too much. When it comes to the code example, thank you for everyone who has already given me some feedback, help me correct, debug, and test the software. Interesting, we're going to talk about testing on Friday, and it's interesting that writing correct tests are also hard. So, I mean, we write tests to check the code, but sometimes we need to test the test as well. So part of this is also to correcting the tests. So, and if you go to, this is a bit on the whole system issue, not just databases. But if you go to the Bitbucket, you can see that there are some quite some fixed something, testing, fixes on the tests as well. So sometimes what you need to do is to also fix the tests. We'll come back to that on Friday. But since things may change, there may be problems, there may be issues, there may be something that you propose for improvements, and I will might change that project on Bitbucket. It makes sense for you to keep on fetching updates to see if there are updates that you can integrate to get into your own or merge with your own code. So there is a nice short description here how you fork and keep a repo up to synced with an upstream record upstream server. Is this totally unknown or something that you have done a little bit before? So what you want to do is that you want to fork the repo, keep your own repo, but then keep the repo I'm put up as an upstream that you sync with regularly in case there are changes and you merge them with your own code. Work on it. It's a natural way to work for programmers. I had a question on Friday. How much PHP do you need to know? And I think it was even said for the exam, but that doesn't matter. How much PHP do you know? Well, for this course, PHP is just kind of a host language. We need a host language for accessing databases and accessing XML data. So PHP is not important in itself. What's important is the XML APIs and the database APIs. So PDO, that we're going to be covering mostly tomorrow, is important. And when it comes to XML, the DOM API for XML is going to be important. But PHP is just a hosting language. So if on the exam or if ever you were asked to develop program this, then the PHP syntax is not important. What's important is if you show that you understand the APIs, the database APIs, the XML APIs, that's what we're going to learn here. And then the PHP, even if you don't remember much PHP, if it's any flaws in the PHP that's just PHP related, it doesn't matter. What's important is that we need a language for accessing databases and XML, and that's where PHP comes in place. But at the same time, PHP is quite a common language out there, and there's no disadvantage for you knowing it. So you may have ambitions of going beyond that. But for this course, it's not that critical. Then, as you said last week, for the quality assurance of this course, we should have a reference group, 3 students, one from the engineering class, one from the IT operations and information security class, and one from the programming class. I think we may as well just get the names now and or the persons now, so then I can talk with these guys afterwards. Well, the idea, I had the group last year and I found it fruitful. That's what I would like to have this year as well. So we're going to have a meeting now pretty early, one in the middle of the semester and one towards the end of the semester. So it's not quite a lot, and it's a good way for us to have a dialogue, because sometimes it's easier to have that informal discussion with 3 than with the whole group. So, any volunteering? You are for the engineering class, okay? New from programming, and then IT operation security. Yeah. So if the 3 of you could just meet with me after the lecture, then we could just agree how we work. Great. Nice. Then I skip to the other slide set, because this is where we were. So in PHP, there are no pointers, because what we deal with are object references that are kind of pointers, and you see kind of the pointers in the way we reference, but we don't have to to deal with pointers directly. We only deal with references to objects. It's not like, but it can be an empty reference as well. So it can be null, but we don't need to allocate space to it. We just create an object and then we have a reference to it. And as I said before, there seemed to be a little bit of a misunderstanding, because last week when I was talking about typing in PHP, I didn't mean that PHP doesn't have types. PHP has types. It has object classes and it has types like integers and bools and doubles, but it doesn't have static typing, so meaning that you don't have to declare a variable or a function and say what type it will return. And the function may return different things at different times, and a variable may point to different types of values at different points in time. But there is typing there, and you can always check for a given object what type it is, or for a given variable what it is. A string, or is it an array, or is it an object? You can always check on that. And the other thing is, since this is an interpreted language, you can also store a function name inside a variable and call the variable as it was a function. And then we just take the function name in there and assume this is a function and look for that function. So you can have variables that holds function names, and you can call them by just calling the variable as if it was a function. So there are some nice things that you may do, and sometimes it's useful, sometimes it's not. But it's very flexible and very dynamic. So there is no need to declare a function. So you can have a call to a function inside a file. So in a PHP file, and even you may have an include file. So here you may have F and G, and here you may have F, H, I, J, and J, there might be a call to F, and G, there may be a call to H, and here there may be a call to H, and here there may be a call to F, something. But you don't have to here upfront say which functions, the F functions, all the functions you need. You can just call them, but at the time the interpreter is here, it must be in some of the files that have been loaded. Because what PHP is going to do, it's going to load this file, and finally it's going to load all this. So it's going to load all the files. And when you, inside the function, or inside the code, it's going to call the function, it's going to start looking, where can I find this file? So there's no need for, like in C++ with the header file, to predefine all the functions. And as I said, there is no return value, and there's no parameter signature here. So you just, at the time where you call the function, that's where the interpreter is going to check. Can this function, will it have the proper parameters? Will the return value be the right thing? Is it defined? All that will happen as the code is run. And string is strings are concatenated with a dot, not with plus. Plus would be for summing up, and a dot is to concatenate the string. Let's see if we have didn't we put some examples here? Test PHP. So this is where we had some tests last week. So if we try to declare a variable, or define actually, I equals 2 and J equals 3, oops. And then if I echo, I plus J, oops, auto-completion is nice, and echo dollar I dot dollar J. Let's see where the browser is. Localhost, and was okay, so it's all concatenated here, but if you look at the I don't have any, yeah, maybe I need some it could be easier if I have some line breaks, isn't it? I have a little bit of spacing here. Wow, we can run. So what's happening is that with plus, we sum the two up. With dot, they are both converted into strings. So dot means it concatenate two strings. So what it finds is the first thing is an int. Okay, then it converts into a string. And then there's another string, which is the one in the middle, and then it finds that the last one is also an int, so it converts it to a string, and it concatenates the three strings. That's why it ends up being here, and if you do plus, it's just going to sum up. And if you try to do plus between two strings, then it will complain about the type. But not before. Okay, so you get used to the dot. And for concatenating strings, dot equals. That's the same as you're using it plus. Here doc, that's an interesting feature. Because sometimes in a PHP script, you're going to output quite a lot of HTML code. So for instance, in the view classes of the assignment, so let's see if we have the, we don't, docs. So if you open, for instance, the book list view, we see here in the code that it has this get page content. And here it says content equals quite a lot of text. So rather than having echo or a string constant that I concatenate, I use the here doc. Here doc is signified by these three less than signs. So when the interpreter comes to the less than signs, it says, okay, this is what's going to come here is a label. And this label is going to tell me when I'm at the end of the text. So this line is text, 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 text. When HTML or that label appears as the first characters on the line, that means that this is the end of this string that starts here. So the HTML are just the labels for the start and the end. Everything here is just a long text constant. So when you have long text constants, you can use here doc rather than having a concatenation of... You could do something like this as well. But it's more characters and might be harder to read. So sometimes it's easier to read the text if you format it with here doc. It's because PHP was made for quite a lot used for web, and then you need to generate the web pages from a script. And there was a question last week whether you had to delete objects, deal with objects, But in PHP, there's a garbage collector, similar to in Java and JavaScript and these other languages. So it will keep a reference on all the objects that are currently referable or referenced by code. And then when it's not referenced anymore, sometimes the garbage collector will go and pick up. So you don't have to worry about objects that you don't need. But of course, if you really like to be to make performance efficient code, sometimes you might want to reuse objects rather than deleting and getting new ones. Then you have to create your own kind of library of the objects and use some factory or some patterns for maintaining the objects, and don't have to delete them and create new ones, but rather reuse the ones that you want. But don't worry about it in the beginning. I don't know what your approach to programming is. I would assume that at least the game programmers are very much focused on making high performance code, because performance is an issue. But I tend to think that in especially in the web application cases and in the type of application we deal with here, performance is not the most important issue. It's not the hardest problem typically. So try to make your code easy to read, easy to understand, rather than performance efficient. And then if you have a performance problem, then we deal with the problem. The same with SQL. Make the good, straightforward queries first, and if they don't work, then we may need to optimize. But don't try to make it as optimized as possible all the time, because that tend to make the code more complex than it needs to be. So you don't need to worry about the allocation and deallocation. When you call new, you do get a new object, and you could just use it. And when you don't need it anymore, then it's going to be dereferenced and picked up at some point. And as we've seen, there is no compilation needed. There is no... And I don't know if I did show you, but if you go to the console, then we could do just call the test here as well, PHP test PHP, and we print out the same here. So I can run it as a script in the interpreter in the command window. So PHP is then the PHP interpreter. It read the file and execute the statements. And when I'm loading the web page or the Apache server would look at the PHP extension and would load the PHP file into the interpreter, and the interpreter will run the same way. You may include files wherever you want in your code almost, and include and include once will include files. It may not give you a warning if the file doesn't exist, but require and require once will. And of course, the difference between the two is that, include and include once, require once, is that require will always load the file, even if it's been loaded before. But if you want to make sure that you have only one version of a file, then you do require once or include once. I tend to use require once as default. When I include the file, it's because I require it, and I don't want it to be included several times. So I tend to use require once. But these are the choices that you have. String quotes. When there is a difference between, we saw last time that you can have a string in double quotes or in single quotes. We can declare, so as we said last time, if you want, let's say you would like to write Jeanne d'Arc, then if you use double quote, then you could use a single quote internally, because it's just going to be any character. So we can play around with double and single quotes, but there is a semantic difference between the two. So when we do double quotes, we can put in variables like this, and then it will actually print out the variable value. But if you use single quotes, it will take everything in here as a constant string. So if we test with our code, let's see. So if we do echo, let's see, there we go. And then we do the same thing. So what do you think will happen when we run this script? What will be printed out? Think about it before we run it. Keep it over here so you can have it side by side. First case, that string is printed out, but with I and J replaced, and this character is a new line, so it skips to the next line. With single quotes, the text is kept as is, meaning that the I is kept, the dollar I, the dollar J is kept, and the backslash N is also kept. There is no, it doesn't change or replace that with a new line that it would be otherwise. So if you want to, the only thing you can escape, or you will have to escape it, if you like to escape it in here, then you could escape it. Another escape, then it would escape it. But if you don't escape it, it will be printed out as a regular character. So double quotes would be nice if you have escape characters and if you have variable values. Single quote if you want that exact text. So that's the difference. So in here, you don't, with you, when you use single quotes, you don't need to escape that much. So a question? In HairDoc, everything would come as is. So HairDoc, from you say less than, less than, less than, everything would come as is. Whatever characters you put there will be printed as those characters until you end the HairDoc. And sometimes, if you have more complex expressions, like you have an array of or you have a member variable, then you can do something like this, this J. So if this is an object pointer, then you can put this J inside the double quote, and it will go and call or get that member variable and put it in there. So if you don't have just simple names but more complex expressions, you may need to have the curly braces around the expression, and then it will evaluate what's in the expression and replace this text with that value. And it will also, of course, replace the braces. Oops, that wasn't. As you're going to find, PHP is very much more forgiving than C++, so it's not as picky, but that's not necessarily a good thing, because it means that when you make mistakes, the compiler or the PHP interpreter may not protect you, so you'll get weird responses and you don't understand them right away. What's wrong? Because it's trying to do the best it will, and it automatically type converts, it automatically does a lot of stuff, and if you aren't aware of it, you may have effects and the results that you don't understand right away. You need time to trace down. So because of this, keep the good practices from C++, meaning well-structured code. Even if you can have one variable point to different things at different point in time, don't do that. Give them names that clearly say what they are containing, and keep with that type. And as we'll be talking about maybe tomorrow, you may also add documentation to each function where you explain what the types of the input parameters are and what the type of the result is. Not because the interpreter is going to check it, but because it's good for you as a programmer, it's good for all using the program to make sure that you get don't have these kind of strange problems that you may get otherwise, and that are very hard to trace down, because the problem typically appears a very different place. So you do something in one place, and PHP is trying to type it, converting and trying to do stuff, and then in another, when you're going to use the results in another part of the code, you encounter a problem, and it's hard to know exactly where this was happening. In typing, we test for value equality, so you can test whether 0 is null and 0 is an empty string. While if you had 3 equal signs, it means that they should be same type and equal value, because this one is type converting the values and seeing if they have the same value. But if they are of different types, and sometimes you would like to distinguish between a null and 0, and then you need to have 3. So let's try. Maybe do the source code first. So let's do j equals 0. And that equals null. And we say if dollar I equals dollar J, then we just print out double equal, and then we try the same with 3. And by the way, these small examples, I do them here, so there's no source code for you to download, so you can try these things yourself. So we see they are equal in value, but they are not equal in value and type, because null basically means we have no idea what this is. We don't know. Null doesn't mean null, and this is important for SQL as well when you start working on SQL, because we have null as a value in that we can add for attributes in the database. But null is not a value. Null means that we don't know what the value is. And nothing is equal to we don't know. If you have two things that we don't know what they are, doesn't mean that they are equal even if you don't know what they are. So here we test for they both have no value, and here they have no value and that they are of the same type, which is semantically different. And then, of course, we can negate all this, which ends up being quite quite many characters just to say that they are dissimilar. Global variables. A question. No, it means 0 is not equal to empty string. So these two are just an empty string. No, this means that they are the 3, because 3 is different from 2 in that it's just not comparing the value. I think you're right. Yeah, there's one too many. Both of these, there are one too many. Well, all of them, actually. There should be 2 and 1, not 3. Yeah, sorry. I'm going to correct that. Global variables. I don't know if you use global variables. You may not want to do that. But if you do, then... So if we have a variable I, and we have a function f, and we have echo I. So we have I equals 12, and we have an echo I here. We get nothing. We get null, because here this I, the scope of this I, is within this function. Frode talked about scopes, didn't he? Variable scopes. So when you use a variable here, it's within the function scope, because we can't declare variables. So when it comes to a variable name here, you have to assume that it's a local one. If we wanted to be the this one out here, we need to say global. Global I. Then we tell that this I is the one I'm referring to here. Otherwise, you're going to create a new I, which is in the local scope of that function. If you don't use global variables, you're not going to have the problem. But if you want to use global variables, just keep in mind that you need to, within the function scope, you need to tell that this is a global variable, because otherwise it would just create a new one. Whenever it gets to a variable it hasn't seen before, it would assume there's a new one that it hasn't seen within the scope of that function. Resources. The PHP tutorial, you already saw that. And the PHP manual, I think I gave you a little bit of intro to that one last time. As programmers, keep these things on your computer as you work. I mean, you're going to use the manuals all the time. The PDO is also described in here. So if you go to the PHP manual, this is language reference, and then you have the function references. If you go to database extensions, then one of the database extension is PDO. And there you go. There you find the various PDO functions that we're going to be talking about tomorrow. We're not going to talk about all of them, but you find the objects and the methods for PDO are there. So just keep the reference manual close by your programming environment, or by your the editor you use, or if you have an integrated or an IDE, integrated developer environment, then it may provide all of these things for you already. That is what we're going to talk about PHP in very general. We're going to now move into PHP for web and database applications. So that's where I'm going to just switch the presentation to the other one. So we are now in the context of web database applications, and you hopefully you know Sir Tim Berners-Lee, the inventor of the web. He was a researcher in CERN and made the first version of the World Wide Web. I don't think he anticipated at that point how big it's going to be, because it was designed and developed as a tool for sharing all the documents that they produce in CERN. So it was a document sharing tool, and they built up for documents. HTML was for documents. And now it's basically the interface to everything that we have. What we'll do is we're going to say a little bit more about PHP in web pages, and a little bit about coding standards. And we will be talking about model view controller. How many know about the model view controller? Tom did talk about it in the software engineering class. Yeah. So you're going to know it. And I don't know if you ever developed code with it, but now you need to use the model view controller pattern that I've designed for you for the so we'll talk a little bit about it and why. But we're also going to talk about web frameworks like Laravel and Symfony. And have any of you used any other web frameworks? Yeah. So those who use that would find what we're doing here quite primitive, because I mean we need to create everything ourselves, the database, and access the database through the SQL queries. because what you would do in many cases when you develop software is that you will use a framework that's doing all these things for you. So you just have to create code and use APIs that the frameworks will give you. But since the purpose here is to learn you the basics, learn you how databases work and how you write frameworks and write applications, that's why we're going to go through it. And then we go through PDO. So we've seen how to output PHP. We have the whatever output HTML. We have whatever HTML is outside of the PHP block. So if we go back to the view here that we have for the book list view. No, it doesn't. Let's see if the maybe I forgot. Let's see. No, doesn't have any. It's all here doc. Okay, I don't have any examples other than the test example. I guess we had that. Let's see the test. Here we had HTML outside, and then this is the PHP block, and then it's HTML. So whatever is outside the PHP block, the interpreter is just passing to the web server. So if you remember the architecture, we have the web server, and we have the PHP processor. And when it's .php, then the whole file is sent to the PHP processor. And the PHP processor is taking whatever HTML and sending it back. Whatever is PHP, it's performing and is writing it back, and whatever is HTML, it automatically just goes back to the caller. So this is like saying echo all of this, but you don't have to put it inside the PHP script and say echo. You can just put in text, HTML text, and it will be just sent back to the client. And then whatever the PHP script is echoing will be added in the middle here to the result. So that's why we on the result here could see this part is whatever is just HTML code, and then what's in here in the body is what's output of the PHP script, and then just the text, HTML text again. Oops. And we can, of course, do echo that we were seeing, and the hair docs in the echo. So in the echo hair doc, we can, again, output HTML. Now, from a design point of view, the question which you choose would be which is easier for you to maintain and for others to work on. So if there are designers working on the file, then designers are more used to the HTML code, and design HTML code, they don't know programming, so maybe have a lot of it in HTML, just plain chunks that they can change and work with, and not so much echoes. But whether you choose this or this type of or the string, concatenated strings or hair docs, it depends on what make your source code more readable. So it's up to you. Any questions about this part? Because then tomorrow we're going to, as I said, go more the rest here into the model view controller, talk about the how the assignment code is set up, and then we'll go into PDO. A question? Yeah, they can absolutely share variables and functions. Yeah. So when so inside the block, what's happening is that it's loaded to the PHP script, and it gets its memory space. And whatever you address variables that have been created in memory space. Question? You can't write HTML files and include PHP, because if it's HTML, then this web server says, I know how to do HTML, and it will outline it directly. What is found here is just skipped then, because it doesn't know what to do with it. It's a processing instruction, and it's not going to do anything about it. So we'll always have to do HTML inside PHP. That's the only way you activate the PHP interpreter. Yes, you can inside PHP, yeah. But you can't write include files in HTML, because HTML is just text. And you can describe the scripts, but it can't do anything with them. For that, you need the processor, and that is just PHP files that would activate the processor. Okay, very good. Then tomorrow we can start going into the database APIs.